This is Bragg, son of Balin, and you're listening to Light the Beacons, a LOTRO podcast. Welcome to the world of Middle-earth.
Shall answer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Light the Beacons, a LOTRO podcast focusing on the expansive MMORPG, Lord of the Rings Online, as well as related topics in books, movies, gaming, and the lore of the aforementioned J.R.R. Tolkien. This is episode number 5, and I am your host, Bragg of the Lonely Mountain, ally to the Ents of Fangorn, and dwarf of ill repute. Number 5 is alive. Yes, excited to be here with you again. I want to thank all my viewers for joining in, and yes, I know that whether or not you're actually viewers is debatable in some regards. Well, it's not technically debatable, but perhaps it's emotionally debatable or spiritually debatable. I'm not quite sure. Okay, the degree of debatability might be debatable, but I digress. We had better get on with it. There's so much time and so little to do. Let's light our first beacon. Amandine. All right, get off the tower, Pippin. You've done your job. Corrections from last week. First of all, apparently Crazy Sammy is not actually insane. Apparently it's all a marketing gimmick. I don't know. No one replied with any feedback regarding Crazy Sammy, so not exactly sure how he was received, but if you'd like to see him again in the future, let me know, viewers. And yes, again, eh. All right. So, second comment came from the Nietzsche. That is spelled G-N-E-E-C-H. Hello, Nietzsche.
May Gvonen.
Apparently, when I was talking about the quests of Heightbold, he pointed out that I had mentioned Dressage as one of my least favorite quests. Dressage is actually not that bad of a quest when it's working. That's the one that's in Cliving, I believe, where you have to, while on saddle, repeat 4 emotes that are given by an NPC. As I recall, that quest was frequently broken. A few times it was broken, and I eventually found it up and workings to the point where I could complete my deed. Nietzsche wrote in to let me know that that quest, again, is broken, apparently. At least he hasn't been able to complete it to complete his deed, which is a pain in the neck, I agree. So I'm not sure if that's the most recent info. If you know, let me know. The quest that I was actually trying to refer to as a pain in the neck and in my bottom 5 was Dress Up, up in Harwick, which is the one where the NPC puts on a mishmash of different outfits and you need to run around the town opening up chests to find the right pieces in order to match his outfit. And I found that to be a rather odious quest myself. There was a great map you could find online, which is the only thing that made it even partially palatable, which would point out the locations of the pieces, but still you'd have to recognize them from the guy and then align them to the piece and then find it on the map and blah. Again, not one of my favorites. Those are corrections from last week. Let's talk a little bit about this week's episode. We're going to, of course, discuss a little bit about what we've been doing in-game. I'm going to spend a little bit of time, as it's rounded down in reality, discussing the phenomenon known as Tahiti, or taking the hobbits to Isengard. I am going to review my vote for the most difficult quest in all of LOTRO. So, you know, take your bets now, envision the toughest quest in all of LOTRO in your brain, and see how close you come. And lastly, I'm going to reach into Bragg's mailbag in order to bring to you some of the views of the viewers. And again, technically. Okay. So as ever, there's much to talk about. Let's light our second beacon. Okay, so what have I been doing this week in game? Again, not a lot. I'm not a big fan because I have fan issues on my laptop. It's been overheating. I think I mentioned this last week. The shop I'm going to does have the part in. It is going to cost a fair bit to get the fan replaced. I'm at the point where I'm addressing that age-old question. How long to prolong the life of a five-year-old laptop? You know, I think the specs are still decent for what I use it for. And, you know, I've replaced a few things over the years. Had a hard drive failure a year or two ago. Came back from that. Had some keyboard parts, etc., blah, blah, blah. But I am probably going to – this is probably the last money I'm going to put into this unit. I'm saying now. I'm not ready to replace my laptop. You know, the longer you wait, the better the units get, of course, the more the prices come down. But I think it's still suitable for my purpose. I just have to wait a little while. Hopefully by next week, my laptop will be back in action. Luckily for me, I do have a backup. We've got a family iMac that I can use to play a little bit of Lotro. It's just not quite as convenient. It's in kind of a more public area of the house, so it's more difficult to get some, you know, dedicated time without outside influences interfering with gaming. And it is got a really nice monitor, I'll say that. The monitor is, you know, significantly larger than my laptop, and the graphics themselves are prettier than when I play on my laptop, but it's just got the keyboard's got a different feel. It's not my preference. So at least I have a backup. In the meantime, so I haven't been playing as much, but I did go in and do a little bit more of the Fangorn dailies. As you saw from the intro, I have achieved Ally of the Ents in Fangorn, so just one more reputation cycle to go, the longest and worst one. I found I am slowing down on the Fangorn dailies. For a while, I was doing all the dailies every day, and I think I took a guess at that point that it was going to take me someone on the order of another 20 or 25 days to get through to Kindred doing that. Partially because of my computer problems and maybe a little bit because of burnout. I haven't been doing that. I've been, you know, maybe getting in and doing the dailies every second or third day. So achieving Kindred might take a little bit longer, but I do intend to still get there if I can. I did take part in a few more spring festival quests. One of the things I did is ran over to Oatbarton to do a little bit of fence jumping. That's one that I've enjoyed a little bit in the past, was trying to grind a few tokens. I figured I haven't tried it in a while. That might be fun. So lo and behold, when I get over there, when I did notice, as a lot of you in-game may have already noticed, that there was not just the usual two challenges for fence jumping, which is to navigate the fence without a time limit, and then to navigate the fence with a time limit. I think it's like 2 minutes or something along those lines. But there are two additional fence courses which have been installed. One to the north and one to the south. And I took a look at those and practiced them a little bit on the side before I actually tried them with the quest invoked. And I have to say that in my estimation, they are ridiculous. So I think the fence that's there is enough of a challenge that, you know, it's not automatic. It's definitely, you know, might take, you know, maybe if you practiced it a bunch, you can do it easier. It takes me, you know, 6, 7, 8 tries to get through it on the timer. If I take my time and do this, in the slow fashion, I can usually get to the end of it pretty quickly. But these two new courses, in my estimation, are just a little over on the ludicrous end of the scale. Each of them has a section where instead of running along a fence, you're jumping from post to post, and there's maybe 7 or 8 or 9 of the post to post jumps you have to complete. And I sat there and tried to do one of the post to post jumps and was getting it maybe 1 out of 4 times. Again, I'm sure if you practice, you get better at it. I'm sure if you didn't have any lag and this and that, and you're great at platforming games, blah, blah, blah. So I'm sure people will call in and say, it was easy, I did it 5 times. But at least for me, I thought it was ridiculous. And, I tried it a couple times just to get the feel of how tough it would be, and pretty much decided if there's a deed attached to finishing those that I was never going to achieve it. Just not interested. So at least that's my view. Let me know what you think. As I was over there grabbing from the regular quest my stockpile of Bull Roarer's Brew, I was thinking over of Brannick on Lotro Academy. I'm sure he's filling up his chest and his kin house for their next kin house event. So I raised a Bull Roarer Brew to you, Brannick. Say that five times fast. Bolo de brudi de brannock, bolo de brudi de bet. Yeah. Okay. So maybe after a few bull roars brew, I'd have a better success at that. So onward from fest jumping. Opening up, back to Fangorn Dailies, opening up the seed quests. I'm still over, whether it's over 12, over 13, over 14, I don't know. No Huron pet yet for me. But speaking of apathy, I ran a few festival events, then gave up grinding the Spring Festival tokens for the steed, and instead decided something I've done for the last few festivals where I've run out of gas and not really wanted to participate for the entire time in order to get all the rewards I wanted. I dipped into my stash of Badges of Taste. So as some of you may be aware, if you have grinded for rep in the in-league or in the Ale Association, or if you've done both, especially through the delivery quests and a number of other mechanisms, you can build up quite a good stockpile of Badges of Taste for the in-league and for, I think it's Badges of Dishonor, I can't remember what the other one is, for the Ale Association. You can build up quite a stockpile of those, and even after you've gotten the things that you might want from a cosmetic standpoint, from the Bird and Baby Inn or the Thorns Hall Beer Garden, you can have quite a few left. And if you go to the vendors for those two factions, you can trade in those badges for festival tokens of any flavor that you want: spring, fall, anniversary, farmer, etc. And so I have elected to do that in some of the festivals that kind of festivaled out on, in order to get the tokens that I needed to get the steeds. Still building up my collection of steeds. You can never have too many, right? So that's one nice avenue if you're getting tired of festivals, but you've been considering the Ale Association or the In-League. Go ahead and do those things. Those are fun titles to have. They're fun quests to learn. There's guides out there that can help you do the delivery quests in fairly quick order as a series of dailies. Nice change of pace. And you'll build up a number of those tokens that you can use for festival tokens in order to get some of the rewards that you might be interested in. And, they're very flexible that way. So that's one recommendation I have for you this week. And lastly, regarding the Spring Festival, I did one more collection of flower collecting against my better judgment. And lo and behold, I found another Tomb of the Spotted Shrew. So that makes two times I did the quest and two times that I turned up a tomb during the course of the hour. And I wasn't really even exclusively doing the quest for the hour. I was kind of, working on something else and randomly going over and clicking on, flowers as they appeared. So I wasn't even actively farming, but was able to get those. So it tells me that they are fairly common. I did find tombs, at least on Vilya, going for in between 4 and 8 gold in the auction house. So if you've got some cap level tunes, that's not too much coin. I did buy, I had two. What's nice is they didn't appear to be bound to character. So when I found another one, I sent it to an alt, and I even bought one from the auction house and sent it to a third alt as well, so I wouldn't have to ground more flowers. But I think we'll be seeing a lot of shrews around the landscape. Maybe some of the other flavors apart from the spotted shrew are a little more rare, but those are the ones that I have seen most commonly. And I think that's all that I've been doing in game. So let's move on to our third beacon. Nardal. Okay, so for Nardolian, we are going to talk a little bit about the phenomena known as taking the hobbits to Isengard, and it seemed only appropriate that we do so by starting out with that little ditty that you all know and love. Legolas, that's enough. Easy. We get the idea. Back off.
What did he say?
Okay, now that you've heard my my Gollum impersonation, which I'll break out randomly, I guess, from time to time, let's move on and talk a little bit about the significance of taking the hobbits to Isengard. I know quite a few people that would have preferred to have taken them to the woodshed, but it has been a fun event in my estimation. There's been some positives. There's been good, there's been bad, and there's ugly. So let's talk a little bit first about the good. You know, in my mind, there was such a lack of communication during the tenure of the former executive producer of LOTRO before Rowan returned, who shall remain nameless, that I think any form of community outreach at this point is a positive move for Turbine. How can, you know, interaction between, you know, the employees of the game, especially the community manager, but more importantly, the devs and the producer himself, you know, how can that not be a positive thing for the game? It creates interaction with Turbine. You know, MMOs are communities. They're unique in gaming in that there's this kind of ongoing relationship with the development house. There's influence that the players can exert upon the direction of the game, either with their forum posts, but more importantly, with their money, probably. And even in our instance, through the use of you know, the Players Council. So I think the community outreach that's been fostered through the Taking the Hobbits to Isengard initiative has been great. It has turned into one of the primary sources of news and information for players in the game. Now, I will say there's, you know, 90% of the questions that players ask, which, you know, from Sapience, you'll get a pretty standard, "Oh, that's an interesting idea. I'm not sure, you know, where it is in the priority list, but I'll mention it to the devs," or whatever the case is. So, you know, there's only so much he can share. You know, I don't know if he's got a gag order on some of it or if he actually doesn't know. I think it's a mix. But, you know, there's that 10% of questions that produces some kind of interesting little tidbit. And more importantly, more recently, he's been joined, you know, during the live casts with other developers and with Rowan himself. And generally, they don't appear unless they're ready to share some more information. So, they've been, all the Take the Hobbits to Isengard runs have been transcribed by a player called Frickenmuck, who has become somewhat famous for doing so, and I'd like to extend some thanks to him as well for that public service he provided so thoughtfully with so much of his time. And there's been quite a bit of, you know, good nuggets in there. Now, regarding the event itself, I actually think personally that it's fairly fun. I think any time that you get you know, scores of players in game kind of flocking to a location or rallying around a cause, it's fun because you know, some of the servers have lower population. You know, depending on when you play, you may see people coming and going here and there, but you know, it's less and less frequent where you see these big groups of players moving through the landscape, and I always find those entertaining. You know, obviously there's the music festivals where that happens. There are large kins that sometimes, you know, hold races and things of that nature or you know, race across the countryside. So whenever I see big group of player like that, generally it's a nice change of pace and, you know, I actually enjoy it. So I participated in, I couldn't make the first half of the run in, on my server in Vilja. But I joined in as soon as I could on the live stream and caught up to them on the landscape so I could lend a hand in shooting, you know, being an advance guard and shooting down some mobs. And I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it. As a shout out to Vilja, my server, we finished in fourth place for the event overall, but really there was a lag after Sapience put the leader that we had offered on follow between when he said go and when our party understood that the event had started. We lost about 23 seconds standing in front of the prancing pony before we even began. And he was Rick was already predicting doom and gloom for our start as we just stood there as he's waiting for us to go. As it turned out, we shattered the times of the servers that came before us. We were the first server to post under 47 minutes or whatever it was. And if you shave the 23 seconds off that we stood around waiting, you know, for recognition that the event had started, we actually would have finished in second place. So I'm actually glad that Eldar finished in 46, whatever they did. It made me feel a little less poorly about the fact that we squandered our opportunity. But I do a shout out to our server. We were well organized. There were a couple players on the server that were instrumental in rallying the troops and doing practice runs and talking strategy. You know, special mention to Alinar, but all kinds of kins participated and took regions and talked strategy and so forth, and we did really well. So let's talk a little bit about the bad that came out of this event. So I know that there's quite a few players that feel that the Take the Hobbits to Isengard initiative from Turbine was really a band-aid that was being used to cover up other bad news around the game. The fact that we were getting less content, the fact that there were layoffs occurring at Turbine, you know, dwindling server populations in an older game, the fact that there were no raid clusters coming on the horizon. And you know, quite a few players said, you know, all this press that's coming for Take the Hobbits to Isengard, which is only appealing, you know, in their estimation, to a subset of the player base, and all these more important issues are getting glossed over, you know, through the fervor through this event. You know, it's as if Turbine was saying, look at the candy over here. Take the Hobbits to Isengard is fun, and you don't have to worry about all these other negative comments. So, you know, I think there is some validity to the fact that Turbine realized, you know, that there were some negative aspects to the news coming out of the game and that they needed to do something to turn things around. It's not necessarily bad in and of itself, but obviously some of the other factors that play into it I do recognize as valid. You know, there are some, probably more than some, quite a few players also that, you know, don't always think that the community manager from Turbine is fair-minded in his patrolling of the forums and his responses to some players. And I think that comes out of a few things. You know, there are a lot of players that step in at the last minute, see one post reply, and they don't realize that Sapience has replied to, you know, 100 other posts on the same subject. And so, you know, his response might come off as abrupt at that point. It might be abrupt at that point to say, look, I've talked through this before, and people are like, yeah, but you never really answered the question. And he says, look at this post, and he's very, you know, brief about it. And I think he needs to resist that. I think he does need to realize that, you know, not everybody has been on all the forums and looked through all the posts. And, you know, yeah, you can go out there and do the research, but there's a lot of casual forum reviewers as well. And, you know, being abrupt with the player base, you know, you can't do it. There are plenty of people out there that deserve it. They're annoying. You know, their posts are one-sided. They're jaded. You know, they're bringing up misguided points, etc. But, you know, as a community manager, you need to be above that. And there are some that believe that, you know, sometimes the frustration shows, which, you know, all the credit in the world. I believe it's a frustrating job. But you know, something that I think both sides can be better at. So I think those are some of the negative things that coming out of the event that I saw. And then lastly, there's the ugly. So as I mentioned, there are those who didn't, you know, thought that the Take the Hobbits to Isengard initiative, you know, was again that band-aid covering up the larger, you know, problems in the game that they perceived. And there are people that chose to express their views by trying to ruin everyone else's fun. By either, you know, being on a horse with a cloak, playing, you know, with a with a herald following you and a pet, and you know, exploding fireworks and jumping back and forth across the party as they ran, trying to create lag however they could, just trying to get their names seen on the live stream, you know, to be basically a nuisance. And, you know, even at the end, kind of obscuring the camera lens so that Sapience couldn't get a good picture of the server on the steps of Isengard and things of that nature. And, you know, I observed the chat and I saw that those players were very clear that they, you know, the reason they were doing it was to get their point taken. And their point was that that Turbine was wasting its time on events like these when they should be creating raid clusters or when they should be, you know, developing, you know, fixes to problems with lag or with combat or epic battles or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I actually share some of those views. Some of those views that are expressed, I share. But what I take issue with is the way the individuals chose to express their displeasure, and that's by ruining the fun of other people in the community. There's a time and place for expressing your views. If you feel that strongly about it, start a podcast. So you can express your views like I am and say that that kind of behavior is immature and has no place in the game. Again, my opinion. But you viewers out there, and technically, okay. But, you know, let me know what you think. Lastly, I should note that I was reading in the forums today that Turbine actually announced the next event already. Saving Dwarves from Harm, something, blah, 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 stands for SHIELD. And it's going to be an event that runs through Moria, through the gates of Kalas Galadon. The exact rules are still forthcoming. But I actually think this could be a fun next step in this event. You know, Moria is a more interesting terrain. There's lots of drops there that could cause some issues. You know, lots of different paths that people could elect to take, you know, to avoid trouble. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the event's described and what that brings. Again, as if you've listened to my previous episodes, you know how I feel about Moria. So if it's at all possible, I'm going to be a part of that event and trying to enjoy it. And I might even show him the shortcut I know through the kitchen of Phil Gashin. There's a little garbage chute that kind of drops you out in the Dimrill Dale. Okay, let's move on to our next beacon. Eralas. Okay, and now a word from our sponsors. This episode of Light the Beacons is brought to you by Sharky Salvage Operations. You sunk it, we'll junk it. Experienced divers newly available. Put the Tower of Power to work for you. Note, once and for all, Forshell is out of our service zone, so can we please stop the prank calls from someone with a bad echoey connection called Arvidwi? We cannot make your stop. And secondly, by Barrow Brie. Barrow Brie keeps your minstrel strumming. Try Barrow Brie in your mac and cheese. It makes a hobbitomy fill up with glee and poison. Thanks, sponsors. Really appreciate your continued support of the podcast. Let's move on to our fifth beacon. Min Rimon. Okay, for Min Rimon, we're going to go to a Lotro Quest highlight, but a special edition of a Lotro Quest highlight. We're going to discuss the most difficult quest in all of Lotro. Okay, so I know you've been thinking about this one over the last few minutes. You probably have a few ideas. Maybe the new fence jumping quest in Oakbarton might be up there for the Spring Festival. Okay, here's some other options. What about the Seven Circles of Despair in Angmar around Barad Guldur? Doing that at level, I've heard, was one of the most difficult things that could be done in the original endgame. But it's a deed. It's not a quest. So it's out. How about Into the Rift, the quest you get from Eorellin in Rivendell that sits in your quest log forever because you never run all the way through Angmar, up through the gates with all the stone giants and various dragons and drakes and guys in red robes that'll kick your butt and so forth, and all the way through the orc camps and all the way up to the rift. Used to be common back in the day, but no one does it anymore. Sometimes I finish that quest just for fun and the challenge. Give it a shot if you haven't. But, nope, not even close to the hardest quest in Lotro. Finding a boar in Evendim for Hal? Difficult, if you didn't automatically succeed by just waiting. How about finding the Batcave in Moria? You ever ask for that one in GLFF? What's the response you always get? Try looking in Gotham City. But if you plunk away at it hard enough, even as a solo player, you'll find it. How about killing an orc in every region in the game for the Greyhammers? Part of the Mirkwood epilogue. You know, it may be the biggest pain in the rump, but it's not the hardest. All it takes is a little bit of perseverance. What other options are there? Killing Thorog, Thorlak, Collar for the King in Fornost, Second Hierarchy of the Nameless down in Dar Nabagud, completing Arvar's Champions, maybe stopping Saruman at the Tower of Orthanc. No. All those raid quests have been accomplished by many. Plenty of kins out there have done them. Hundreds of players. Maybe thousands of players. Probably thousands of players. But I can almost guarantee there aren't thousands of players that have done this next quest. The hardest quest in Lotro. Free Range. To achieve the Crosser of Roads title as a chicken. Okay, so those of you who know what I'm talking about, probably nodding your heads right now. Free Range is the capstone quest to chicken play at Ted Sanson's farm in the Shire. And after you've done some menial tasks, like going and kill some shrews and avoiding some wolves, and maybe running to a few different animals around the Shire, they'll give you a series of 5 quests to visit animals around regions of Eriador. And this is one quest area that I chipped away at over time. I did, I think you have to go, let me see, visit 4 or 5 animals around the Shire. You need to go to talk to a Neeker Breaker in the Midgewater Marshes in Bree. You need to swim all the way across the lake in Evendim to talk to Longbow. He's not even an animal. I don't know what the heck that's about. And then eventually the last quest, you have to go all the way to Rivendell. And as a chicken, this takes significant time. But you can do these quests one at a time. You can fill them in on your deed. And, you know, the Rivendell quest is doable as a solo player. However, there is a little bit of danger involved in a couple places, particularly as you cross the Ford of Brennan, and you're zigzagging back and forth up the hills to get to the high country there, where Rivendell is. And lastly, as you're following the path, maybe a scant 100 yards from Miladris, there are a couple stealth lynxes up in that area, and gosh darn it, if one didn't kill me, you know, with the finish line in sight the first time I did that quest, and I swore like a dwarf for several minutes, and after spending, you know, an hour, hour and a half, I don't know, whatever it was, to get to Rivendell from the Shire as a chicken, I decided to save that quest for another day. However, I was successful on my second attempt in order to get the Cloak of the Cluck, and to open up the quest availability for the final capstone quest in Chicken Play, which is Free Range. So the quest I just described is not the most difficult quest in all of LOTRO. It's a small component of the next quest that follows. So Free Range, you are given 8 hours to complete this quest. And by the few accounts I found on the forums of people that took the time to do it, if you know what you're doing exactly and you follow directions, it can take about 5 hours. So the quest text reads, "This may be a wonderful time to explore Middle-earth." And the yellow helper hint in your quest log says, "Explore Middle-earth." Not exactly helpful. So unless the first person that did this knew the developers in the game, I got to hand it to them. Their name may be lost in antiquity, but the first person to figure out what you actually have to do to finish this quest, you know, like I said, either they got quite a few hints from the developers, or they spent more hours in this game than anyone should be willing to admit. But there are a number of guides that are out there now in the forums for it. The one that I've referenced in the past is one by a gentleman named Kid Quantum, who published it in 2007. And completing the quest requires 37 simple steps. First of all, you got to visit all the animals that you did in the previous quest line. 5 in the Shire, the Neeker Breaker in the Midgewater Marshes, the Little Oryx in the North Downs, Longbow and Evendim, Lynx Mother, and going all the way to Rivendell. Then you have to find 3 chicken stones in each of 8 regions in the game. And it's basically almost all of Eriador, including Aemar, including not Forshell, but don't think Forshell was there when this quest originally premiered, but every other area of the game, including the Misty Mountains, so even further than the Rivendell Run. And so there's a stop in Anuminos, which is especially dangerous, and one of the chicken stones you need to find is at the top of the Bitter Stair, for gosh sake, right outside the gates of Heligrod. And basically, I believe there is no way you could possibly make it up the Bitter Stairs past all the Corcoran there without an escort. So there are a couple areas in the game, one where you approach Ostfarad, one where you Anuminos is supposedly soloable to find the chicken stone there, though you have to jump over some roofs and avoid some pathers. But you basically need an escort to get to Ostfarad, but more importantly, up the Bitter Stair to get the chicken stone outside of Heligrod. And since you can't speak over in the game as a chicken, you need to have an external voice speaker to coordinate with that person and make sure they're moving at a good pace where mobs aren't spawning behind you, but not too quickly so that AoEs can catch you, etc. So requires some coordination, requires quite a bit of patience. The most important factor in all of this quest is that you have to do it in one go. And if you fail, you have to start over from scratch. So there's no saving your progress. There's no achieving, you know, small intermittent, you know, I found the stone here. That one's in my log. It's good forever. If you fail, you have to start over from scratch. So basically, you could spend 4 or 5 hours in the game, you know, tracing down all these quests, staying safe, and you can get caught by one stealth hunter in Ostfarad or a shrew or a fox or something, and have all that effort go down the drain and start from scratch. And there are people that's happened to in the forums. You can read about their posts, and you can imagine the salty language that might be involved there. You know, in my experiences doing the chicken runs I did, it involves, you know, long periods of abject boredom combined with brief seconds of sheer terror when you can either, you know, hit your possum skill that causes you to fall dead and, you know, a mob to walk away, or to get by a certain area, you know, hopefully outside the aggro range of certain mobs that are close by. You know, you have to back up your vision so you can see everything. I think it's a little easier than it used to be with the aggro range reduced in some of the previous updates, but, you know, I still, it's the only quest I can think of in the game where 4 to 5 hours of effort can be completely erased and you'd have to start over from scratch again. You know, gosh sakes knows, the last time I had 4 to 5 hours to play in the game, you know, I spent most of it trying to find a group that wanted to do the rift at or near level. Didn't do it, you know, playing chicken play where there was a chance I might have absolutely nothing to show for it. So, that is my call for the most difficult quest in all of Ultra to complete. And I do have to say, despite how ridiculous it sounds, every time I read that post, there's this small little bit of me that says, you know what, maybe I should try it someday. And with the guide, maybe I could get it done on the first try, and I'd have that title, Crosser of Roads. Everyone gets Watcher of Roads. I think it's for killing brigands in Bree. But Crosser of Roads has got to be one of the rarest titles in the game, and one that I would wear with pride. So, what's the future of the chicken runs? Maybe they could add some additional quests there. Maybe they could have a goal to get to Gollum's Cave in Goblin Town. You know what? I think a few chickens might make it there if they follow the Fellowship Walk coming up this year. That would be fun to have some chickens in Gollum's Cave. I don't see any way any chicken could make it solo through Goblin Town. Maybe taking the chickens to Isengard could be the next community event. I'm sure there were some chickens trying to follow along in the last run. Maybe they'll take us through the Path of the Dead. They'll call it the Path of the Drumsticks with ghostly chickens following us. Or the ultimate. What if, finally, when we had Mordor come out, we got to get from the Shire as a chicken to Mordor and to the Cracks of Doom in Orodruin, where we could toss a chicken ring. And if we achieved such a feat, we should be given a title. And my best bet for the title would be Chickadoom. Okay, so any of my viewers out there, technically, I understand, but if you, in the sound of my voice, and you have completed Free Range and own the title of Crosser of Roads, please write in to lightthebeacons.com and let me know. I'd love to hear about it. Love to trumpet your accomplishment and hear about some of your tips, tricks, and adventures in achieving that title in the game. Let's move on to our next beacon. Kalanad. Okay, for this next area, we're going to do a new segment for the podcast. We are going to go through Bragg's mailbag. That's bag with two A's, of course. Let's reach into the bag here and pull out the first viewer appreciation mail. I'm very excited for all of you who chose to write in and interact with me. I want to thank you ahead of time. Let's see what we've got here. So first letter reads, Dear Garbage Bragg, Dwarves stink, you stink, and so does your podcast. It should be called Light the Matches to cover up your odor. I've looked deeply into my mirror, and it says you should quit immediately. I mean it. Like right now. Are you still talking? Sincerely, Galadriel, Lady of the Golden Wood. Wow. A letter from Galadriel. That is just so heartwarming that she even could think of me. I mean, I barely know. Well, I visited her a couple dozen times. I've listened to her drone on about her dreams and so forth. But still, supporting me with the podcast is, what a special thought. She's a special lady. Thanks for writing in, Galadriel. Let's dip into the mailbag again. And our next letter reads in a fancy dwarven script. Hey, dear Bragg, your father had a weakness for the Long Lake boat races, and he owed me a lot of money when he left Erebor on his highfalutin quest to reclaim Khazad-dûm. I will pay you as soon as I get back, he said. My halls will run with gold, he said. Well, guess what? Life sucks, and then you unearth Durin's Bane. Your family had better pay up. I know where you live. Signed, Boffer. Uncle Boffer, he's such a kidder. Thanks, Uncle Boffer. I'll see you soon, I'm sure. You know, I don't get back to the Lonely Mountain much, but, you know, I'll try to stop in. And lastly, here's a strange one. This one's typed. Okay, to the party of the first part, heretofore to be known as Bragg, from the party of the second part, who shall be called Yomit, the rightful Thane of Heitbold. Seeing as how Bragg has taken upon himself to be called the Thane of the newly rebuilt town of Heitbold in the Eastern Met, with all the rights, duties, and special privileges attached thereto, and seeing how I, Yomit, being the bastard son of the former Thane, Yoadrian, who has been confirmed to be deceased, with his decapitated head riding on the pole of the notorious warband Bugud, and thereby being the sole and rightful heir to the Thanehood of Heitbold, we, including my legal representatives, hereby request Bragg to cease and desist in the use of any illegitimate titles, to relinquish all claims to the town and surrounding environs of Heitbold, etc., 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 and to depart forthwith to his place of origin, etc., etc., or other convenient but far-removed country to avoid receiving an official injunction from the court of Edoras. Thank you for your prompt attention to this matter. Litigiously yours, Yomit, the rightful Thane of Heitbold. Thanks, Yomit, for writing in. You know, I can't respond to everybody that sends a letter, but I do appreciate the sentiments. Thanks, everybody, and let's keep that mail coming. And with that, let's move on to the final beacon. Halafirian, once again, in our closing beacon. This brings us to the end of the fifth episode of Light the Beacons. I would love to hear your plaudits, feedback, rants, diatribes, and most of all, your constructive critique. You can contact me at bragsonofballon@gmail.com. That's Bragg with two A's. The second A stands for aggro. I am a tank, after all. On Facebook at bragsonofballon. On Twitter, which is a new feed, at bragsonofballon. I'll try to twit you out there whenever a new episode of Light the Beacons is out. My Twitter feed is lonely right now. Please join me. And on my website at lightthebeacons.com, where you can post comments directly on the podcasts. Love some of the feedback that's coming in through that avenue. Please keep it coming. And lastly, I did receive an iTunes review last week. I really appreciate it. A few more, and I'm hopeful that my listing will perhaps be a bit more prevalent when people look for LOTRA podcasts. If you do write in, if your comments would pass the Turbine Code of Conduct policy, I may include them in the next podcast or at least respond to them in some way. I did want to note that I am going on hiatus for the next 2 weeks. Summer vacation is coming and all that. I am going to be on the road. So I hope that you all enjoy your summer. I hope that I've built enough momentum to the podcast that you all can wait for me to come back and look forward to an episode later on in late June. In the meantime, enjoy your summer. I want to shout out to all the graduates out there of the School of Them Merdane. You earned your degree there. That's a difficult environment for the headmaster's quite a strict fellow. So I hope you either laughed at or with me. Hope you might have learned at least a little something you didn't know before, perhaps looked at the game with a slightly different perspective. And most of all, I hope you enjoy your time this week in Middle-earth. This is Bragg, son of Balin, signing off. Baruch Khazad. And remember, when the chips are down, the watcher shakes with anger, and your raid runs in two opposite directions, don't despair. Light the beacons.